Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome. Today is Thursday, 10th day of March, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 149 points, which means it's recovered substantially. We're down 244 points earlier. S&P is down by 17. Comp is down by 40. Today is the much forecast March 10th by Mr. David Williams. Today's rollover day, and this is our time together. So glad you could join us. All right, let's look at these numbers and see what's happened. When we closed out yesterday, we left the 30-minute chart running. Normally we leave the hourly chart running. Left the 30-minute running for a reason. Explained it yesterday. I'll explain it again just real quick. I can get it back to where it was. There we go. Here's where we left. We left this chart up yesterday, looking for dynamic resistance on the ES on the 30-minute chart. We had found support early yesterday morning. We traded up to the 21-22 weekly trading zone. We kept bopping along. We needed some resistance. Okay. Now, on the hourly chart, and this is what I want you to see. On the hourly chart, we had resistance all day yesterday, but it was way up here. Okay. And so with resistance way up here, we know that the next thing we're looking for is support. We don't know where that's going to come in at, but by going to this 30-minute time frame, we had support down here at 1312. On the hourly, we had resistance way up at 1325. So what we were looking for was this first red dot to print, opportunity to get short, which would have came during the life of this candle or either the open of this one. It opened at 1319.50. And then you printed dynamic support at 1315. So if you got in on the open of this candle, on the second dot, not the first one, if you got in on the second one, it was a 4.5 point drop to here. Now, yes, we know what's happened since then. Price traded through dynamic support, and it's continued to wind its way down, potentially putting in a bottom here at this 98.99 area. Now let's jump back to the 1 hour. Okay, this is the hourly time frame. Same thing happened on the hourly. Okay, we traded down through support. Now on the hourly, we had this resistance all day yesterday up at 25.25. But we fine-tuned it down a little bit on the 30-minute. On the 30-minute. To this area here, this 21.22 area, which gave us an entry here or here. Okay. Support printed here at 15 on the hourly. It printed at 14.75. So, here is where we would expect the market, based upon dynamic support and resistance, okay, we'd expect the market to turn up here. And when the market didn't turn up here, that's a big clue. Now, this is a large time frame, an hourly. So when dynamic support or resistance gets blown through on the hourly, often that tends to be a bit of a big deal because it does a real good job of holding price, okay? So when we get this, and sure enough, we came down to this area that we've been highlighting all week, which is 98.99 on the bottom and 32.33 on the top. Now, you would think, that, well, we got to find some support here, okay? And we may have at the weekly zone, but really, what we're looking for now is dynamic resistance. So we traded through support. So the next thing it's going to print for us is resistance. So it's going to look probably a little something like this. See if I can get this pen to work. Let's say we get some resistance here. Hey, Michael. Michael.
Yes, I am here.
I know you are. How are you?
All
hey,
right,
how do you get this pen to stay on the screen?
The pen to stay on the
screen? Yeah, when you draw a line, it just vanishes. What's up with that?
Hang on. Let me see if I can figure it out. I don't know, but I'll try to figure it out for you.
The highlighter stays a little longer, but then it vanished. It's got disappearing ink.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. Can you...
Nah, never mind.
I'm just going to have to play with it to figure it out.
I gave up playing with it a while back, and then I just thought, well, this would be a really good time to use it. So I'll just use this instead. This will be all right. Okay. So here's what this could look like. We print, in here, we print some dynamic resistance. If this is the bottom, okay, then we're going to print some dynamic support, maybe here, maybe a little bit lower. So we'll come here, we'll hit resistance, we'll hit support, and then we begin to move up, okay, which puts things back into sync. Or what happens is we come up here and we find resistance. We go much lower, if that's what's in the cards. And then we print support way down here and begin to move up. Now we're back in sync. Because this move here took us out of sync on the hourly. So we have to go to some smaller time frame to get synced back up. So I just wanted to point that out because... for those who are CFRN partners, they're seeing real value in being able to use this particular tool to just, you know, not suggesting that you want to enter on the hourly chart, although obviously you easily could. In fact, for some, it might simplify the job of when to enter and when to get out? Because you might wrestle around on a really small time frame and take 32 trades trying to put something together, and then you come and look at this hourly chart and go, wait a minute, you're telling me that over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, price only moved like 4 points? Yeah. But if you're in a small time frame, it can look like something much different. So, okay. All right, Michael, what would you like to bring to this party?
Well, right now, just the current market conditions.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Just the current market conditions right now, we put in a low. It looks like we had some bottoming formation there early on, about an hour ago. And we came off of that. It was actually right around, what was it, 10:30? My time, 10:30 my time. So it was
what
about
time frame are you looking
almost
at?
2 hours ago. any time frame, really, but I'm looking at the YM.
Oh, you're looking at the YM, okay.
But it looks like, you know, we put in a bottoming formation. We had rising bottoms on the pivots, suggesting we're going to move up off of that area. You know, we've been trading around psychologically, I don't know, sensitive areas. You know, the 1300 level on the ES, the 1200 level on the Dow Cash.
12,000, yeah.
Yep, I'm sorry, 12,000 level on the Dow Cash, the 12,000 level on the Dow, E-mini, on the YM. You know, we've been trading around all these areas, and it hasn't moved all that far from those areas, considering the range of the day. You know, we've been sticking pretty close to these areas.
Right.
You know, I think moving toward the afternoon here at 2 o'clock this afternoon, we have the Treasury budget coming out. Let me just check on that. I believe the last thing we have today, USD 2 p.m. federal budget balance. That's what we have. It's a medium impact. Now, we could just go sideways until then. I don't know that that's going to make that big of a difference at this point. You know, the Dow's retraced a little bit of the loss here so far. You know, it was down, retraced about, actually, 100 points, pretty close to 100 points of it. So we're definitely getting a little bit of a back and forth movement here, which is good.
Yeah, we've got some high impact news out tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning we've got core retail sales, the preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment. Those all happen. Let's see, the unemployment. That's Canadian.
That's Canada. Yeah, Canada's unemployment change in rate. But I mean, that could have an impact as well.
So the U.S. reports are out at 8:30. FOMC member speaking, but that's a low impact. And the University of Michigan consumer sentiment, that's at 9:55 a.m. So that's 25 minutes after the opening bell.
Yep, I'll have to remind everyone when that's happening.
And that's a pretty big one.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Oddly.
Yeah, considering how they gather the data, a bunch of college kids asking people questions. But hey, got to pay for that frat house somehow.
let's see.
Okay, we're nestled back in the zone here on the YM, 1250-55. Just below it. Poked above it, right back into it. So we've gone... Well, on the ES yesterday, we went from this zone to here. Then we pulled back into it on the overnight. And then we just dropped from the 1309, 1310 to the 1298, 1299. And then, which is at 1300 round number. And so we get a bounce, which we would expect at 1300 on the, like you said, on the ES, S&P, 12,000 on the Dow, big numbers. Today's rollover day. For those of you who don't know what rollover day is, our friend Bert is standing by to tell you. I said, our friend Bert is standing by to tell you. As
okay,
we go to
Bert's
our studios in Chicago.
All
right.
Bert's
not playing today. All right. He just typed in a message. I thought he was here.
The rollover process actually starts today. What that means is the contracts, the ES starts today. I think the YM starts today, maybe tomorrow. And, you know, a few other E-mini contracts. The contract expiration date is actually the third Thursday, so it's next Thursday. But the rollover starts today. They start trading the new contract, or they made the new contract available today. So if you're using a continuous contract right now, you're trading the new contract. Right now, the ES new contract is trading at $12.96.5 right at this moment. Whereas the old contract, as you can see, is trading at $13.01.25. Essentially, they gave everybody a week to take care of their business and get out of the old contract and get into the new contract if they're going to roll things forward. That's the idea anyway. So slowly, the volume is going to change from the old contract, which we're trading right now, to the new contract, which will probably start trading tomorrow. The new contract is ESM1, I believe. And we should be into that one tomorrow. I'll take a look at the actual volume so far. On the new contract, the volume is 948,000 right now, and on the old contract, the volume, give me just a second here, the volume on the old contract is 1.6 million. So we have plenty of volume today overall. But you can see the new contract is a little more than half of the old contract right now. But that ought to be pretty much flattened out tomorrow.
Now, for those of you on the DT Pro platform, one of our partners just asked a question, so let me address it. Where's that rollover button hiding?
Under view.
Which view? There's a couple of them. Okay, right up here at the top of the page, top of your chart. View, roll forward, roll contract forward. When you click it.
Yeah, it should roll it forward, but if for whatever reason it doesn't roll it forward, there's a couple things you can do. One is you can just type in ES, and then you'll see the next one will pop up. Just click on your chart anywhere and type ES, and the next list of contracts will pop up, or it should pop up. Or you can just type ESM1. There it is. Okay, ESM. Oops, wait a minute, that didn't come out right.
ESM1.
ESM1.
So you just click on the chart and type in ESM1.
Yep.
Just click it.
And
yes,
all the partners.
And then you need to do that for your YM chart,
mm-hmm.
for your ES chart. Now, beans and the euro, those have different rollover dates.
They do.
So the only ones we're really concerned with today and tomorrow are the ES, the YM, and that's it, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The only ones that we're looking at anyway. Yeah, so what I'm going to do is create a layout after the close tonight. I'll create a layout, and any one of the partners that wants my layout, just send an email to tech, T-E-C-H, at CFRN.net. All right, any one of the partners that wants that, just send an email there, and I will send you my layout after I update everything tonight. Okay? That's probably the easiest thing to do. Maybe I'll even make a little video about how to export and import things, too. Yeah, and we can include that. All right.
Okay. All right. Since Bert doesn't want to come out and play, we'll go to our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. Trim that clip, it's a little long.
It's okay. I wouldn't trim it, Dwayne. There, you can never have enough of the Wild Wild West theme song. And I think every one of your listeners, whatever their age, would agree.
All right.
Good morning, Michael, as well. Good morning, Bert.
Good morning, David.
Bert's being the strong, silent type this morning. He's...
All right.
He's not chatting. He's in here, but he's probably on the phone busy.
He's probably tied up. Well,
today's the 10th.
I'm sorry?
I said today's the 10th.
Today's the 10th.
And you said look for big things on the 10th.
We had forecast that this breakout would occur on the 10th, as you know. The sideways movement on the daily chart, if you would put up a daily, maybe you don't have to put it up, but if you want to, you can put up a daily chart.
Michael, do you got a clean daily chart?
I'll put one up. Hang on a second.
You know, I might be able to take this one to a daily without too much ramification. Let's see.
Hang on. I got one there.
Thanks, Michael.
Hang on. Let me just take the charts.
Anyway, while he's doing that, the market had been wedging, so to speak, the last, basically, let's just say from February 28th on. You know, we had put in a bottom on the 24th. We had forecast a 23rd bottom using reflected wave. Came one day late, the market advanced up. And then we stayed inside a narrowing sort of triangle pattern for those of you who are into maybe Elliott wave or just pattern recognition. It's kind of a wedge type of formation. And the forecast was for the market to break out, that this wedge would break out on March 10th. And in our nightly report, which we put out on Sunday, we were forecasting that the move that came out of this would be 28 points. If you take yesterday's high, swing high of the 1325, and subtract 28, that brings it down to 1297. That's 1297, by the way, basis. The old March contract. I don't have everything on June up yet. However, having said that, even though they've basically done all of that, and Michael, tell me when you have a chart. There you go. There's your daily. Now that they've done that, I do want to say that although they've done the 28 points and they did the March 10th, there is a possibility and a high probability that the market is going to do more. It's actually going to reverse because we do have a turning point coming up on the downside for tomorrow. So that means that we want to trade this on the upside, and this is really important. Even though the move has happened on the downside, the fact is that today is March 10th, and it could very well mark a very important bottom. So therefore, we would want to trade this up from that bottom, 28 points minimum on the upside. Are you getting into a fight over there, Michael? Or
I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I dropped my headset.
That's like one of your barroom buddies or something just got up.
No.
Grabbing the
grapes. I didn't realize Mike was still on.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Anyway, so this is really pretty important. What I'd suggest for listeners to do here is keep an eye on this market and look for significant reversal setup, which might require into tomorrow or slightly later to really get, and then we want to just be long and trade this. Now, on the other hand, if we were to break out on the downside significantly below 1292 on the March contract, the next really important target on the downside is about 1282, about 10 points below that. That would still be okay with me. I almost would prefer that, but that would still be okay for a reversal if that price, the 1282 basis March, were to occur into tomorrow. So that's not a forecast for that. That's just if that happened, we would be interested still in treating the 10th plus or minus a day, which would just be plus one day, as a bottom for a very good reversal. So that's
David,
what we're... Yes.
Rob, I had a question for you. Today's 28 points from what reference point?
Well, generally speaking, if you look at the YM, just for an example, I'll show you what normally it would look like. You see on the YM's daily chart how yesterday, March 9th, was
a swing
high.
Did you actually say the YM?
Yeah, I did.
You got a few tricks up your sleeve. I didn't know you knew how to say YM. That's good.
I'm just learning. I learned from Michael Bort.
Okay.
Everything I've known.
All right.
There you go.
So there you are.
There's your YM.
There's dynamic
support. Your YM.
Okay.
You see how yesterday the market made a swing high? You know, it was higher than the previous day.
That's not by much.
Not by much, but it was a pivot
high.
No one can argue that.
Yep.
That's what the S&P was trying to do, and we would normally count the move from a swing high when you get to plus or minus one day, which March 10th, plus or minus one day would be March 9th.
Mm-hmm.
That high, we would be looking for the 28-point move down from there. In the S&P, we didn't quite get that swing high, but that's what the market intended on doing, kind of like what the YM does. So we just count from that pivot. Now, having said that, I'm still saying that the bottom that we're putting in here, especially into tomorrow, that bottom can very well reverse and give us another 28-point move or larger on the upside.
So
that's what we want to trade for, because there's a principle at work here. It's too complicated to explain in verbal. I don't want to frustrate myself trying to explain it. So I'm just going to pass on trying to make that explanation. Trust me that there's a real opportunity that although March 10th was the breakout as forecast, although March 10th has already done the 28-point move, the fact is that the principle states that the market now can reverse from this, and we can have a very, very powerful advance out of this on the upside. So go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I just want to know on the ES, David, how important is it that it didn't put in that higher pivot?
It bothers me. That's how important it is.
Okay.
It irritates me. It means weakness when they can't do that. But what I really this is the reason I'm stumbling is because there's a complexity here that I don't want to try to verbalize because it needs a drawing. It needs for it to be able to be explained clearer. So let's just say this. It can mean weakness when they do that, and certainly weakness was indicated with the move here. Now, the reason March 10th would be the breakout point, we've had a lot of questions about this. Why was March 10th going to be the breakout point? You know, we forecast this on Sunday. The reason is because, and it's a little difficult to describe, but this class of cycle, the cycles are in classes as well. There's all kinds of different types of cycles. This class of cycle is related to, this is the best way to put it without going into too much, again, the complexity of the explanation, is related to breakouts. That's the best way to put it. There are other cycles that have different qualities to them that the market sort of puts those into different places in the overall scheme of things. And this one is a very common breakout cycle. So that's why March 10th could be forecast as a breakout point, as a day for the reversal to happen, etc. But for me, having said all that, because this was difficult to trade, because they just banged through it and got it done and went down, and it's a rollover day, you know, on and on and on, and my washer-dryer combo is broken, you know, just trying to throw it all in, I'm actually more interested now in how they resolve today with regard to this, so that we can potentially have a reversal off of the March 10th turning point. I'm not treating, here's another way of saying this, I'm not really treating yesterday as the turn. I'm treating today as the potential for a turn on the bottom. And so, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
On the YM, we could have said easily, hey, you know, yesterday came in one day early as a high and they slammed it down and you got your move. There you go. But because they didn't do it on the S&P, I can either say that's weakness, which often that will be an indication of weakness, or my preference is that I'm saying that today the bottom is the bottom. This is the turn. We're sitting on the turning point right now, plus one day, for a powerful advance. So that's why we want to watch and see how this trades for the remainder of the day and into tomorrow, and we'll see if we can do something with it.
Now, how powerful in advance? The same 28 points?
It'll probably be, it'll be at least 28 points.
Okay.
But at least, I mean, that's a decent, you know,
sure.
Does anybody in the group hold for 28 points? You know, we you know, I mean, does it really matter? I don't hold for 28 points. So, I think there may be some, actually. There may be some people in your group that hold for 28 points. I don't know if they, you know, I don't want to discount that because some people are just naturally acclimated towards larger moves. But it'll be at least that. And so that's kind of where I'm going with this. I really believe that we have a possibility of seeing that occur. So we'll wait. And we don't have to, remember, this is not an outright forecast. It's how I'm treating March 10th because yesterday wasn't a new swing high. I'm treating March 10th as a bottom plus one day. Really, in reflected wave, for your information, that actually is tomorrow is the on-time day. So we got a lot, you know, a lot going on here. This should be interesting how they play this out. And probably profitable on the long side. So today by the way, you know, everybody knows we had to roll over today into the June contract, which is a bit of, you know, you have to do some work depending on how many charts you use and that kind of thing. If you're only using one chart, it's pretty easy to do so. But if you're using more than one chart, it gets a little bit, you know, it can be a little bit overwhelming to do the, and I've been doing this for 20 years, and it is a little bit overwhelming. Anyway, earlier today, when the market was down at 1290, 1291, we had forecast that the market in the second and the third hour today, the natural position for the market would be to test 1296. We did do that, and then we went up to 1299. I would have been a seller at 1300, maybe to 1301. I would have liked to have sold that, but they weren't able to. So now the odds favor probably a further decline here. Yesterday on your program, we also forecast that the market would fail at 1223 and drop 10 points. We got the majority of that done in, or I don't remember exactly how we laid it out for you because we hadn't given it yet to our subscribers, but I think it was for a 10-point decline. And so that about pretty much most of that happened down to about 1215 price, and then the remainder of it happened on the overnight, obviously, with the big gap open on the downside. So there you go for the S&P. We're really in interesting territory here, no question about it, because of the March 10th deal.
Now, after we had closed out the show yesterday, and I had already pointed this out, I had left up a 30-minute chart, and the instructions on the screen were, I left the charts running, was that, you know, we were just going to watch for dynamic resistance to print, and it did, in fact, print at 1322. Going right into the close. So that's when, so anyone that had been listening to you or that was a subscriber with you and they maybe were watching that chart that I left up and left running, those things would have just kind of all came together. And wow, a nice trade came out of it.
Yeah, no, it was a decent trade. We're seeing, as you can see and listeners can see, we have a lot more roadmaps occurring, sometimes two a day now, because of the volatility.
The volatility, yeah.
And that's the whole thing with roadmaps. And people want roadmaps. And everybody, you know, everybody wants to trade as much as they can. And I want to as well. And so the more roadmaps we get, the better it is. Two a day is pretty nice. We've already had one today. And we may have a second one a little bit later today. Although I'm not 100% sure because of the rollover yet that we could, that we can do that. So we'll see. You know, we'll wait and see how the remainder of the session lays out here. I'm still in the process of updating my charts, to be honest with you, with regard to the June contract. So,
well, volume's pretty light over there today.
Is it?
What were the numbers you quoted earlier, Michael?
The new contract, hold on a second, I'll tell you again right now. New contract's got just over a million. And the last time I checked, the old contract had 1.6.
Okay, so the new contract it's got more than I thought. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people already in June.
So
I'm
by
sure.
Tomorrow it should be at least even.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah,
and the new contract should start to take the lead tomorrow and definitely by Monday.
Well, there you are. So, you want to take a look at a few other markets real quick?
Sure.
Okay,
what do you
let's,
got?
Let's do that. First of all, today gold is continuing to decline pretty sharply, and we're going to there is something coming up in gold. I don't have anything immediate on it for the listeners today, but we will have something. It's possible that we will have something. I think for gold, we want to watch tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is the on-time day for reflected wave in the S&P for a bottom. And we do want to watch, since gold going down, is tomorrow the 11th? Yeah, the 11th also for gold. So just, it's not an outright forecast, but keep an eye on gold for that, because we're closing in on a bottom here where we could have a decent trade. Definitely in gold for a very tradable advance off of the bottom that they're making. So we'll deal with that a little bit more tomorrow, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And then let's see, what else do we have? The euro. If you don't mind putting the euro up, I had mentioned several times on the program that March 7th for the euro, when we had gone short, originally, we're already out of our short position, but the original short from March 7th, that cycle would normally bring a sharp decline. And I've mentioned that a number of times, that the market had moved down, but it really wasn't the sharp decline that's normally associated with this. But you can see now that the euro has completed when I sent Bert the original forecast, which was for $1.25 initial downside move, and then double that. And so if you take the high on March 7th, which is
140.35, 34,
whatever. Yeah, thanks, Mike. And then subtract 250 from it. That brings you down to 137.85. And take
hit
a look
137.90.
Yeah, today's
so
low
far.
137.90. Not bad. And we'd forecast that on your show, but the market just was very slow to getting around to that. And this market also is tending towards a bottom on March 11th as well. So there's a lot of stuff happening right in that time frame. The euro, you know, is interesting because it shows it's surprisingly simple. The market is not as complex as I thought it would be originally. And by complex, I mean the nature of how it does its moves. It's not nearly as convoluted as I would have pictured a currency perhaps to be. So I'm happy about that. That makes it easier to read and to trade. So,
well, the fact that it's a futures contract and there's some low in order there. You know, the Forex is kind of just a wild market with you know, the dealing desks and all the stuff. You know, when you're trading the currency pairs, and you can get one quote over here and a different quote over there, and nobody ever really knows what the real price is.
Mm-hmm.
But yet people seem drawn to it, and, you know, it's a big thing. And, you know, listeners of this program started bringing the 6E to my attention, and it wasn't really anything that I had investigated or had much interest in. But so many people said, hey, you really should look at it because it does have some really nice moves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you haven't noticed, but the ES is not doing anything of late. So.
Right. Well, anyway, so, no, that's true. And the ES now is just starting to move, and the euro is a really tradable market. It's, you know, that's something that's really interesting to me. We can also take a quick look, Duane, at soybeans today, if you'd like to.
Okay.
This is a market that, honestly, this was not tradable for me. This move, this whole turning point that we talked about for March 8th yesterday, I mentioned that if they closed the day below 1353, that would negate my willingness to trade it on the long side. They did continue lower. They did close at 1349. They closed below it. I'm going to just pass on that, even though I could make an argument about where its position really is right now. I think what I'm going to do is wait here, and the next important turning point for this market, and I'll go into more detail later, is the 14th and 15th, and that will be a very important date for this market for a sizable advance, and I'll give all the details as we get closer to that. Sizable move off of that turning point. So, but yesterday I didn't like the close on the downside, and I told your listeners as well, you know, let's not do this if the market closes below 53. So, and it did. So we just stepped aside. And today, this is just an unusual way of them handling the big move that we expected, but the reversal didn't show up properly on this. And although I can make an explanation for it, it would be a little tortured. So I'm just going to forget that, and we'll just move on to the next turn. There's no harm, no foul, in a sense, because this never really gave us the buy signal. I know Bert might have taken some positions. He was being aggressive with this, but you know, you, on the aggressive setups, you can be stopped out, and you can be stopped out on any setups, of course. But this particular one, I just couldn't find a place to buy it as they kept moving lower, and then they closed badly on top of that. So, fortunately,
was there a bean trade today?
There was a bean trade today. Let me take a look real quick. I think it was a break even, though, Duane, because the the market, let me just go in there real quick. We had shorted it on the bounce at 13.57, took a penny profit, and then got out on the upside at a stop ourselves out. So there is something happening. There may be another trade in soybeans today. But honestly, with all the rollover and everything else, I'm a little bit distracted for that, because I want to try to get something going with the S&P here. So,
Rob, question, confused, are we talking March contract numbers or June? That's going back to the ES. So while we're on soybeans, let's get this next question. Is the soybean trade a reflective wave turning point?
Is which soybean trade?
Pick one.
I'm assuming he may be talking about the upcoming one,
yeah,
which is
so.
The 14th. The date of the 14th and 15th is not based on reflected wave, but at that time there will almost certainly be a reflected wave top or bottom being put in. Right now, that date is several days out, and I'm just letting you know that sort of in the spatial relationship world, that date is going to be important for another sizable reversal. And one of the things that's very useful about, again, we've talked about this many times, you know, the difference between these separate techniques, and that they all come together. So on that date, there most certainly will be a reflected wave top or bottom on hourly or 30-minute or some chart that we'll be using to enter a trade in the direction of the larger move that we're going to be, you know, being in, because there's going to be an explosive move out of that date. So that'll tie in with reflected wave. But right now, no, that date is not specifically based on reflected wave. So I hope that answers this question. And then the other numbers for the S&P today, most of the numbers I've been talking about have been March. Even though we're rolling over into June, I think I've mentioned some March numbers. I'm not sure, honestly, when we were talking earlier, if I was mentioning March or June. I apologize.
So. I think I was showing March, so.
Okay.
I think you were probably talking about March.
And okay. When I had charts up, everything I was showing was March.
Okay. And I think right now that's about it for the various different markets. I'm a little frazzled today because of rollover. You probably tell in my voice. It's not quite as free-flowing and relaxed and funny. Some of the humor that you would normally be doing laugh tracks, it's just not there today because I'm rushing here to try to get all my charts you know, together. If you're wondering how many charts I use, wonder no more, a whole bunch. And the reason I do is because that's a number in the new math, you know.
Yeah. David Williams, yeah. Math. That's
David Williams math is a whole bunch.
A whole bunch.
Because I want to be able to see the market from a bunch of different perspectives. And I think a lot of people do that. Most people aren't using just one. I mean, Michael, you don't use just one chart, do you?
No, okay. Absolutely.
But I do only use one screen. People ask that a lot. You know, how many screens do you use? And just one 22-inch screen is all I need.
Yeah, I don't do that either. I have several 22-inch screens.
Oh, yes. Well, That's okay. That actually probably makes it more convenient, but I just, I've been able to get by on this. So, anyway, so Dwayne, anything else, Dwayne, of interest on your end, or any other questions for me?
No, I think, anyone else, any thoughts on crude?
Give me just a moment here.
Crude's down quite a bit today, along with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
H&R Block's up a dollar.
Well, there you go.
82
I mentioned yesterday, the crude is, okay, I just got to make sure I'm reading the numbers right. It's $100.62
mm-hmm.
was the low today. Okay. This is another market that we're new to this, so we want to be careful with this. But I think I mentioned on your program yesterday that today's first hour would mark a very important turning point for crude and an advance or decline of $2.25. I don't remember how much detail I went into it, but that's the setup. So it came in 1 hour late on the bottom this morning at $100.62, and so we would be trading, if we had been trading this, and I'm just watching crude because this is not a market that I'm, you know, I'm not an expert in any of these markets, but this
but you play one on television.
I play one on TV, right? See, I don't even have my own jokes going today. So this would normally go up to 102. Well, let's see, what would that be? It would go higher. I don't have my calculator's not working right now, but it would go up about $2.25 off of this morning's low. Now, today they did have a one unit late bottom on this, but that's okay. That's fair. That works. So you take $100.62, and that would bring us up to 102 and change. So we should see higher prices, if I'm not mistaken, off of this. So I'm just watching this market, and this is on an hourly chart. This is not daily stuff. I want to kind of get down to the nitty-gritty and see if we have the numbers right for what crude operates on, because every market has its own individual base that it runs off of. And without that number, without that understanding, it can be tricky to make these types of calls. You can make other types of calls, but I'm not sure I know any other way to do it other than having that kind of base number that the market operates off of. So some markets have the same base number. Some markets are different. Some stocks have the same. Some are different. I can assure you that something like soybeans is a different base number than, as an example, the S&P. So, and they're dramatically different markets. But I'm just, you know, we don't have a forecast outright for crude. I'm just watching this market, and I'll let you know if we have anything pretty soon here coming as we see a little bit more movement in that market. It certainly moves, and it certainly is very, very volatile. So, and I'm glad to see prices are down because, you know, those high horsepower cars, you know, chew up gas pretty quick. I don't know if you've noticed
that. Yeah, they do.
I mean, especially like the ones that you have.
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing. Anyway.
There's one of our new listeners, Greg, he says he likes to trade the E7, which is the euro, but it's a mini euro.
Okay.
So there's less margin, and I don't know what the participation is like volume-wise or volatility-wise. I don't know if it tracks very closely the 6E. I think Michael's trying to put up a chart of it right now.
E7, well, I'll tell you, H11. While he's while you're going there, Michael, just real quick, the euro also, as I mentioned before, the March 10th, March 11th, basically we talked about yesterday, the March 9th and 10th was a very important time for the euro to put a bottom in. So we're very close to a very important bottom in the euro. So this is a place to be looking for buying signals in this market.
Okay, there's a daily chart of that mini euro right there, David.
Yeah, this is it. This is the daily. Looks a lot like the crude, the soybean, the ESN, the YM right now.
Yeah. What is this? Take your pick. They're all the same.
Does look
anyway, so that's a market that I'm going to be looking to trade in on the long side as well. So there may be something happening there. So other than that, though, Duane, I think for today I need to get back to getting all my charts updated, and there's just a lot of stuff to do. So I'm a little frazzled, but I think it's good for the listeners to know what I sound like when I'm frazzled.
Well, you know, for a frazzled guy, you did great.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Anyway, I think that's it. I think we've got, you know, it's great that we have this move underway on the S&P. And like I said, we potentially have a very important bottom being put in here on the S&P. And I'll let you know, we'll finalize the week tomorrow. We'll put it all together.
Starbucks is up $3 today. Green Mountain is up $18 today.
Wow.
What do they even? What does Green Mountain even do?
What is the symbol for Starbucks, Duane?
I think it's SBUX. Yeah.
Wow! Look at that. Wow, that is amazing.
And then the Green Mountain, the one that's up. Are they a coffee grower? I don't. Hang on, I might have that symbol here. GMCR. GMCR. Can you see that one, David?
I do.
Okay, Bob says that Green Mountain makes the Keurig coffee systems. And then Ed says they're both coffee retail. And then Greg says that it's something to do with a buyout. So Starbucks, I am assuming, buying out Green Mountain. And they're both up on that news. Usually one will rise and the other will fall. Analysts say this is a low-risk win for Starbucks. Okay. Well, you know, I'm in there every day, and not one of the baristas mentioned any of this impending takeover, merger, acquisition news. I'll give them what for when I stop in for my afternoon brew. They'll be like, huh? What? You say you want cream with that? All right. Okay. All right, so I guess we're done here.
Well, we are probably doing. I do want to get back to the charts here, so I apologize for backing out a little bit early today.
No,
but,
no, you're good, man. Thanks. We appreciate you being here.
I hope the information was useful, and I'll plan on talking with you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay.
See you, Michael.
All right. Take care, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up. David is... well, you know, he's usually a lot more talkative and taller. He is, but today he wasn't. So we appreciate him being on the show. He always brings us lots of good information and stuff to talk about. So I hope it's just charts. He's not feeling under the weather or anything. So other than that, unless someone has a question, that is going to wrap it up for today's... Now, we've been doing an hour and a half all week, so no hate mail about we cut it short 4 minutes today, please. Okay. I mean, I can sit here and talk for another 4 minutes if you want. I just assume not. There's nothing else really of note to point out. I'll grab a chart back here and see if there's anything worth pointing out. I don't think there is. There, you got my screen?
Yep, we got it.
Okay. All right. So, 1 hour. ES, looking for dynamic resistance to print. Traded through support. Now, we need to find some resistance, which then should turn into some support, potentially overnight. And then, if that up move is going to come tomorrow, we'll see that on the upside. Now, let's see on the 30-minute. Same story. We're still looking for dynamic resistance. That's got to happen. And you go, well, wait a minute, the market's already found support. Well, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But I'm just telling you how this will print. So for those of you who are watching it after the bell, or after we close the show, I'll leave the chart running. if you're watching it, you'll know what you're looking for. Now, this looks like a good place for a bottom here, and based on some of the things that David had to say, and just the fact that this is a 1,300 round number on the ES, 12,000 on the Dow, and all of that, yeah, this could be a real good bottom. Important prices are almost always tested. So if we get some resistance here, and then we come back to test this area, and then we print some dynamic support, so we got to go resistance first. But what I'll really be watching for is not so much, I mean, the next step is to find dynamic resistance, but I'm only waiting for that so that I can get to the next leg of the journey, which will be to find dynamic support. Because based on just the way the market has set up and the things that David had to say, I want to be in a trade on the long side. Not that I wouldn't take a short trade intraday if that opportunity presents itself, but bigger picture, to see price come up here or here and then come back into here and then get some dynamic support printing for a run into the end of the week, that would be a perfect world. So we'll see how that shapes up. Here we are coming up out of the 98.99 zone. We spent a lot of time this morning, and okay, we're going to hit a high of the day right here, 1303. See that, Michael?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's going to become an important area right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting right back up there again.
Almost always tested. So from here, it came to the zone, right back to the high. So what happens next? It's going to be important. Come down here, and you can do that. If you wanted to trade this little move here, if it's going to come back to test. Or you could wait for a break here of this. Then you could take a trade up to the zone above us. But what I'll do is I'll watch alternately the 30-minute on the ES and the 1 hour, which is this one, to see some resistance so that I can then begin to really wait for the support. And Michael, I went into the alerts the other night to try to figure out how to send myself or even just signal myself if I'm sitting in front of the screens and I'm not looking at that particular chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure quite how to put it together. So
Okay. Maybe
you can have, I mean, because when you go to the create alert button, it tells you, you know, the CFSR. There is not an option in here actually for the email, but just to pop something up on the screen.
Okay, I would have to, I might have to program that in another language and then see if I can get it to convert.
Okay, yeah. Not a big deal, but anyway, I thought I would go in and try to do it myself, and then about 5 minutes in, I realized, no.
Yeah,
what does exclamation point equals? I mean, I understand less than or equal to.
Exclamation equal is not equal.
Not equal.
Not equal.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. It's kind of the same as two greater than less than or less than greater than rate consecutively.
Okay.
But different languages do it different ways. And since that, I believe, is done in C sharp, it uses the exclamation equal.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, guys. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. Wherever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. We'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.